So when we come together and we study God's Word, really what we do is we pick a little spot. And then we pick a little spot of that. And then we pick a little piece of that. And God is so vast that the rest of eternity, we're going to learn more about God. Me personally, I've probably heard 10 different sermons on the prodigal son. And all with a different perspective. And they're all fantastic. And they give me new insight. And the Sermon on the Mount, you know, you could study just that sermon for a long, 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 long time. and you'd get a lot out of it. So today we're gonna start reading Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And then we'll take a little piece of it and focus on it. So Matthew 5, the first 12 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And yes, Sandy and I went on that mountain. That was very cool. He went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we're going to focus our attention today on verse 6. And you guys know I like words. And so I like to get into words. And the first word I want to concentrate on is blessed. Now, we say blessed. Sometimes we say blessed, depending on the context. And another word is blessing. So in Hebrew, the word is baruch. And the baruch means to increase. Now, we know Jesus was speaking Aramaic when he said this to the people. And the word in Aramaic, one of the words is Barak. Interesting, huh? And the word means treated with great kindness, enjoying happiness. We might say, God be blessed. God be praised. God be hallowed. Held in reverence, venerated. In Psalm 113:2, we read, Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. Consecrated, to invoke divine care. If you're from the South, we say, bless your heart. Blessed, two syllables, means holy, bringing pleasure, contentment, or good fortune. The Greek word that's used is makarios, and makarios means happy. It also means to give prosperity to, as in God has blessed us. We are fortunate. But then if we read in the Beatitudes, God looks kindly on them in their misfortune. And we know that suffering does bring us closer to Christ. To bless God, to glorify God, to magnify Him. There's another Aramaic word that Jesus may have said, which is ashrei, and it's the verb from the verb yashar, which means to endow or to favor. It means to protect or preserve. The synonyms are interesting. agreeable, congenial, darling, delectable, delicious, delightful, grateful, heavenly, or satisfying. Many Jewish prayers begin with Baruch Atah Adonai, blessed are you, our Lord. The Shema doesn't, as you know. But a lot of the prayers begin with that. When you welcome somebody into your home, at the door you say, Baruch Haba, blessed is the one who comes. To bless and to be blessed is a fundamental part of our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Blessings, whether they're given or received, help us to recognize God in our lives and draw closer to Him. I actually read a couple of Hebrew rabbi teachings on this. It was kind of interesting. It is not a recognition of riches, rather a humble confession that we are not self-sufficient. I really like that. It is not a recognition of riches to say we are blessed, but a humble confession that we are not self-sufficient. We don't control or dictate the power of blessing. It is all God's. To bless means to increase in joy and in peacefulness. We bless God when we give Him honor for His grace toward us. Baruch atah Adonai, blessed are you, our God, is a declaration of trust and the greatest hope for Him to reign over our circumstances. He is good, and we are dependent on His goodness. When we bless God, it is His presence that increases in us. God gives instructions to Moses on how to bless the chosen nation in Numbers 6, 23 through 27, and we know this. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Notice who the hero is in these verses. The Lord is. We are blessed. God is doing something that we cannot do ourselves. He is our divine keeper. We are under His protection. Genesis 28:15 says, behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. God is our companion in this life. He says He will stay with us wherever we go. He watches over us, as He says in Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold, He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He is our protecting Father. And Jesus prays for us, as in John 17:11, the high priestly prayer, where He says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. When we are blessed, we experience divine favor. Do you know this? God gives you favors. You're one of His favorite children. He makes His face shine upon you. He is gracious to you. Have you ever sat and counted your blessings? I encourage you to do this exercise. What I want you to do is get out a piece of paper and a pencil, and I want you to take 10 or 15 minutes and sit down by yourself and think about how blessed you are. Don't judge yourself too hard. Allow yourself to write everything that you have that God has given you. Anything you like, go ahead and write it down. And I'll help with some categories. Number one, stuff. He's giving you stuff. Number two, physical health. Number three, people and relationships. And number four, spiritual blessings. And you can add your own categories. And don't worry about the order. You don't have to share this with anybody. Just write down all the ones as they come to you. Don't try to figure out which one's most important or whatever. Just write them down. And if you want, you can share them. Sandy and I did this, and we shared it with each other, and it was interesting. It was a blessing to do the to count your blessings. So this brings us back to Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And again, the peanut gallery in the back, there's a song so you can remember it, right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So that's Matthew 5, 6. So I didn't give you two verses today, but if you want, you can do that one. So the question is, do you want to be happy? I do. Do you want to be blessed? I do. So we are definitely blessed already, but there is much more to this verse. First of all, we're not supposed to seek happiness as our main goal in life. That's a worldview that's different than ours. We can seek to be blessed by God because we're being obedient. The blessing is a result of us hungering and thirsting after righteousness. God tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. We are informed here by Jesus that we should hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Beatitudes do not describe a bunch of different people. So verse 1 isn't about one group of people. Verse 2 isn't about, you know, verse 3, 4, 5. There's not a bunch of different people. Some who are poor in spirit and some who are... Jesus is giving us the basic instructions before leaving earth. You've heard that acronym before, the Bible. We are each one of us to be all of these things. Take a moment to consider if you are truly hungering and thirsting for righteousness. For all of these Beatitudes, we need to be humble. For me, the longer I live on the earth, the more humbling life is. I've had times when I thought I was doing well. When I graduated from college, I had a degree in biochemistry from UCLA. I thought I was really smart. And then I got into medical school, and I knew nothing. And somehow, after 2 weeks of medical school, I was 2 months behind. It was so hard. And then when I finished medical school, I had it going on. I got my medical degree. And I became an intern, and I'm not lying right now, but I didn't know how to write an order for Tylenol. You had to write it in the orders, and I didn't know how to do it. Now, that was very humbling that you had to say, you know, 10 POQ, 6 hours PRN, which is all Latin to you guys, but I was supposed to know that, and I didn't even know that. So I didn't have it going on. And the further on in life we go, the more we realize that we don't know. And it's very humbling. And even just this weekend, Samuel taught Sandy and I how to lift weights, and so we've been lifting weights, and I'm pretty strong. I'm 62 years old. I'm pretty strong, right? Well, I got a vaccine on Friday, and guess what? I was in bed all day yesterday, knocked off my feet. And I don't know if you guys have had a flu bug or whatever. It just knocks you off your feet, and you feel very weak. And I don't tolerate being sick very well, so anyway, that's a different issue. At this point in life, I continue to be faced with God's Word and our life in Christ, and I'm much more humble about the fact that I really only know a little bit about God and His ways. And I continue to see how far short I fall when it comes to righteousness. My desire for righteousness continues to grow. David expresses his desire to grow closer to God throughout the Psalms. In verse 9 of that same of Psalm 38, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. And Isaiah also echoes this sentiment in Isaiah 26, verse 9. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you were really hungry? I've heard that the first century church, after Christ was born, was a time of minimal food. Meat was not eaten commonly, maybe once a week. And people often ate a small amount of bread for a meal. They were hungry people. Much of Israel and the Middle East is desert. I just looked at it this morning. If you walk from Jerusalem to Nazareth, it's 90 miles. If you walk a 3-mile pace, that's 30 hours. So for most of us, that would be a 3-day walk. For some, it would be 2 years. But a 3-day walk. And there's hills. The other thing is I looked and there's these three big hills that you have to go up as you go up to Nazareth. And coming out of Jerusalem is a hill too, because it's up on a hill. So you would definitely be hungry and you would definitely get thirsty. We live in such a world of abundance that we may not even comprehend the full meaning of Jesus' words. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Has anyone here ever fasted for a day? Yeah. Have you ever fasted more than a day? Yeah. Yeah. I've only done one day. And I was very hungry at the end of the day. And when you guys fasted, did you fast without water? Yeah, me either. That would make you really thirsty. You get a new idea of what hunger is. I've intentionally fasted for that, but I haven't intentionally fasted from God's Word, but I have fasted from God's Word in the sense that I haven't read it every day. But I do know that if I don't read God's Word for a couple of days, I'm hungry for His Word. I just did a little self-examination, and you can do this for yourself while I was preparing for this study. Me, personally, I have a hard time fasting from my phone. I have a hard time fasting from television. I can do it, but it's hard for me. Do you have anything in your life that's hard for you to fast from? And the question is, do you hunger and thirst for God and His righteousness more than your phone or your television? So let's look at the word righteousness for a bit. What is it? What does it mean? Acting in accord with divine or moral law. Free from guilt or sin. Morally right or justifiable, as in a righteous decision. Sometimes antonyms help us understand a word better. What is not righteous? Bad, dishonest, dishonorable, evil, evil-minded, immoral, indecent, sinful, unethical, wicked, wrong. Easier for me to look at other people and see how unrighteous they are. But a lot of that's in me sometimes. Biblically, righteousness is an attribute that belongs to God. Righteousness is a gift from God to humanity through His love. It is the God-given quality imparted to man upon believing in the Son of God. So when we believe in Jesus, we are granted God's righteousness. There is an absolute standard of righteousness. It is being right in the eyes of God, including our character, which is our nature, our conscience, which is our attitude, our conduct, which is our action, and command, the words that we speak. It is based upon God's standard, because He is the ultimate lawgiver. His righteousness exceeds our so-called righteousness as much as the east is from the west. Isaiah 64:6 reminds us of this. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We cannot attain righteousness on our own. The law was given to man to reveal this to us. No man besides Jesus has ever been able to live free from breaking God's law. The good news is that God has always rewarded man with his righteousness by faith, not by works. The first mention of righteousness in the Bible is Genesis 15:6, where God accounts Abraham with righteousness because Abraham believed in the Lord. God was telling Abraham that his descendants would outnumber the stars in the sky. There are qualities of character that could be considered righteous, like steadfastness, as in Job 27:6. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. Prayerfulness is another quality that we can associate with righteousness. David had this quality, as we see throughout the Psalms, as in Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Solomon also gives us some teaching about righteousness. Proverbs 12:28 teaches us that this is literally a life and death issue. So I guess we should pay attention. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its path there is no death. God is the source of life, and righteousness belongs to God alone. As we pursue God, we find His righteousness. We need God at the center of our lives every day. God takes pleasure in those who pursue righteousness. Proverbs 15:9 says, "The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but He loves those who pursue righteousness." Proverbs 21:3 says, "To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Proverbs 21:21 says, "He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor." And our verse for today, Matthew 5:6, says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So be steadfast, be prayerful, be humble, and be merciful. If you pursue righteousness, you will be full of God's blessings, and you will bless God. Amen.